Today on Compassion Radio.
A young girl who's been part of our festival for the last 10 years or so. She had a surgical calling. She was training to be a nurse. And as she's been training, her hands have started shaking. And so she came to the festival last summer, planning at that point to drop out of her surgical calling because her tremors were uncontrollable and were undiagnosed. On the Thursday night of Creation Fest, one of the worship leaders had a word about healing hands, spoke it out over the whole audience of 3,000 plus who were there. And in that moment, the girl's hands stopped shaking.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Sarah Yardley is the director of Creation Fest, a huge youth-oriented organization in Cornwall, England, that ministers the love of God to the youth in the UK with live music, preaching, artists, and other gifted performers. Sarah was born and raised in sunny Southern California. Today, she shares her story with Bram about how God called her to not-so-sunny England and how he's using her ministry experience and a background in missions to impact the hearts of the young people the Lord sends her way. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of their conversation.
This morning, I have the pleasure of meeting with Sarah Yardley over in the beautiful country of England. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Now, you are a transplant, and not that long. You've been in Southwest England for about, what, 3 or 4 years now, correct?
3.5, right, exactly.
And your move there was something that God had to orchestrate, not because you didn't have passion for the things that you're doing now, but because it was completely unexpected that you would step into the role you're doing now. And I want our listeners to learn all about that today. So tell me a little bit, if you would, about how God put your heart and your focus and your mind toward the work of reaching youth in England.
Absolutely. So I started coming over to Cornwall the summer of 2009, and I was following Jesus, walking with him, and had an opportunity to go on a summer missions trip to Cornwall. And during that first trip, I worked in the kids venue and absolutely loved the 5 to 11 year olds who came in. And as is so often the case, without even realizing it, I began developing some relationships that ultimately become deep and significant. That first summer, I met a whole host of people and decided I'd come back again, and came back not just to summer of 2010, but every summer until 2014. And when I arrived for summer of 2014 and for this vibrant music festival in the southwest of England, I landed and woke up to the news that the previous director had passed away.
And you were very happy at the time to be a volunteer and coordinate things as an international short-term missionary. And suddenly, you're left without any leadership in this thing at all. And that was a great shock to the entire festival, not just to you. So what did God do during that time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly there's an aspect of that story that includes the grieving and the unexpected questions. We prayed with such confidence for Phil's healing that when he wasn't healed, there was certainly an unexpected wondering around that. And I took some time during that period to read it in my Bible as I do daily. And the passage I was in at that time was Isaiah chapter 49. And it's this beautiful passage of scripture that speaks of God's calling being on us from the coastlands, from the body of our mother, naming us by name, that he makes his word in our mouths like a sharp sword. And he calls us to bring light to the nations and salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. And I just remember writing in my Bible, God, are you calling me to Cornwall, with a whole bunch of question marks?
Yeah.
2 weeks later at this main festival event, a friend of mine came to pray over me, and they prayed that exact passage of scripture, almost word by word. And I wrote in my Bible, God, are you calling me to Cornwall, with a bunch of exclamation points instead.
So Sarah, the scripture that was read over you, you said it was read prophetically. Tell me about that experience of that person coming to you and saying, I have a word from the Lord for you today.
You know, interestingly, it came in the form of a prayer. And I think that so often with the gift of prophecy, I'm currently reading 1 Corinthians 14, earnestly desire this spiritual gift of prophecy. It's so often just that as we are attentively listening to the voice of the Spirit and attentively walking in the power of the Spirit, that God uses and confirms the words that we give, even in ways we might not realize. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because this friend of mine who came to pray over me, he doesn't even remember that these are the words that God gave him to pray over me. And this is such a significant moment of my life.
I know it.
Just in the Spirit spoke forth God's word, and God used it to confirm so powerfully in my own heart.
Very good. So the word again that he spoke over you, that you had been praying and asking God these questions, the question marks you put before God on his altar, that came back to you as exclamation marks. What was the key passage for you?
So it's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and the whole chapter holds a deep meaning for me, but specifically the first six verses, and I'll just read them out loud for anyone who might not be familiar in detail with this passage of scripture. Listen to me, O coastlands, give attention, you people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. He said to me, you are my servant, in whom I will be glorified. And verse 6, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. More than I would have known to ask for, and has been confirmed in many ways during my 3.5 years here.
So as you stepped into the scripture and believed that God was speaking specifically to you, it gives you a bit of courage to do things that you never thought you might have been talented or qualified to do, because God does, in fact, qualify the called. So what did you do?
Absolutely. Well, at that point in time, as I often share later, I took the first step and did the next thing next. And I think very often in our journeys with Christ, if he told us the whole rest of the story, mm-hmm. we'd either be over or under confident in our own skills and ability.
Absolutely.
But the reality is just taking the next step next was saying, God, I feel that you're calling me here to England, and I will say yes to that next step. And I cannot tell you the incredible opportunities that he has opened. But the reality has been, if he told me about either the loneliness or the incredible doors of opportunity, I think either one would have been too hard or too big for me to imagine stepping into. And so all that I had the grace for was the next step.
Amen to that. Now, there are extremes in the cost of discipleship and in the joys of discipleship that would overwhelm our senses if we were trying to filter them through our own experience. God has to bring us into his experience for us to be able to comprehend and to cope with what it means to truly be one of his ambassadors, an apostle, a pastor, or whatever the function is in the body of Christ that he calls us to do. And so we often pre-qualify or de-qualify ourselves in ways that God never intended. So I appreciate you saying that, Sarah. Now, what was it like that first year? What did you do in your job as the coordinator, and how did you end up with that job for this Creation Fest?
Essentially, part of the beauty of the way God worked was that our trustees saw and identified the call of God for the charity, and they identified that the call of God on my life was clearly confirmed. And so I stepped fairly simply into the role that had been left empty by this previous director who passed away. That side was easy. What was hard was the transition from sunny Southern California at a big church surrounded by mm-hmm. team and family and optimistic joy yeah. to move to a country where the rain is not just a form of weather, but is actually in many ways a mindset.
Yes, it is.
To step from a place where everyone I knew loved and followed Jesus to a place where between 3-4% of the total population are actively engaged with a Christian church family.
When you were talking about that yesterday with me, we discussed yes. what the depth of commitment is. Now, when you say that you're involved with or affiliated with a Christian family, what we're saying is that on the records, at least the way we can look at statistics, is that these families or individuals visit church maybe once, twice, at most four times a month, may have a friend they would call a Christian, and would certainly self-identify as being a Christian. That does not necessarily mean that they're deeply committed to a missional life. And there are many churches like that in the world, of course, that are nominal, but there are many churches that are also very on fire, and not just with their evangelical fervor, but with their hospitality and with their sense of identity and their joy. So what did you find was common or missing in the Christian family there in England that you're having to deal with yourself and are also being used by God to help bring forward in this generation?
You know, there's a few layers to that kind of a question. And I'll simply start by saying I've encountered some of the most dynamic, vibrant, outspoken, Jesus-loving, spirit-filled Christians of my whole life here in the UK.
Amen.
I'm encouraged and enthusiastic about what God is already doing and the way his people are joining into that work. Equally, I think that within Britain specifically, there are many people who have at some point or another made a faith commitment, but would lack the boldness to share that faith with others. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even speaking about necessarily a large-scale, wide-spoken evangelism. I'm talking someone who is a Christian, a follower of Jesus, plugged into a church fellowship, but might not have the confidence to tell the other members of their sports team or the people that they work with that they are followers of Jesus. And I think that the challenge around that becomes that most adults would not know many other adults who are vibrantly and passionately walking with Christ and living out their faith. And so there's a real stereotype, Bram, that the Christian faith is old, cold, dead, and boring. And one of
and
the
it's
joys-
not an unfair criticism in some quarters, yet it's not the total story of the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And certainly we who know and love and walk with Jesus believe that following him is anything but old, cold, dead, or boring.
Yeah, amen.
And I think that one of the joys and challenges of being a Christian follower of Christ in the UK is sharing and showing a different picture of faith.
Yeah. The Jesus they're going to see is you, for sure. And I know it's almost easier as a foreigner in a foreign land to be visible for Christ in that you're a curiosity to start with. Your visage, the way you dress perhaps when you first get there, the way you talk when you first get there seem to be very foreign. It's compelling, it's interesting, it's intriguing. So people are interested in you, and therefore they're more likely to hear what you have to say.
Now that, it is interesting because my American accent makes me instantly intriguing to people that I meet.
Yes. And not much of it's left in you, of course.
Yeah, and a few of my friends have relocated from the UK to California, where I'm from, and we just laugh together that God sent them to be instantly interesting in California for the sake of the gospel, and he sent me to their countries for the exact same reason. And so I think one of the beautiful things in the plan of God is that he looks at the world, and it says that nations are in his hand like a drop in the bucket.
Yes.
And there's such this beautiful way where he leads our lives into places we would never have expected and often multiplies our opportunities to share his love.
Indeed.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
Hi, friends. I've been asked many times over the years about the kind of people who listen to Compassion Radio. I remind friends that we don't have listeners, we have partners. And I mean that. We don't fill our airtime with fluff and useless trivia. We talk about important and sometimes difficult things. When you spend a half hour of your precious time with this ministry, I consider that an amazing gift. Thank you for really hearing us and opening your hearts and minds to the amazing work God is doing in some of the most difficult places on earth. When one of these stories moves you to pray and even support Compassion Radio to keep reporting, going, and giving, well, when that happens, I can't adequately thank you for your incredible generosity. And yes, partnership. Thank you for standing with us and supporting the work we do. We can't do it without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So let's explore a little bit more about Creation Fest and what you're doing there and how God is using your fellowship and your new relationships to reach the young people of England now. After that, I'd like to spend a little time talking about how God brought you there and what life was like for you growing up in an evangelical church. But first, let's talk about Creation Fest and what's happening in England.
Yes, so Creation Fest is a free-to-attend, outreach-focused festival that's supported by a year-round ministry. So we're invested in the town where the festival takes place from September through July, and then we put on this big festival every August. The joyful part about what we're doing here is that about a third of the people who come because they know and love Jesus, and they want to grow in faith. Mm-hmm. About a third of the people who come because they've at some point thought about, made a decision for, professed a desire to follow Christ, but they're not part of a church fellowship or surrounded by a church family. And about a third of the people who come have no faith whatsoever or any other faith background. And they come because we have a free skate park, a free slip and slide, yes, a fitness factory, a music stage. And they often stay and respond to the message of salvation. Last year, we had over 10,000 day visitors and 61,000 who joined us over live stream.
Wow.
So the impact of those who listen and attend has been phenomenal. And what's even more than that are the individual stories of salvation, healing, and transformation from those who've come to Creation Fest.
Tell me a story like that. What did you see yourself that said, God was at work here? This person changed because of the supreme power of an awesome God.
I'll tell you two, Bram. The first one is a young girl who's been part of our festival for the last 10 years or so. She had a surgical calling. She was training to be a nurse. And as she's been training, her hands have started shaking. And so she came to the festival last summer, planning at that point to drop out of her surgical calling because her tremors were uncontrollable and were undiagnosed. On the Thursday night of Creation Fest, one of the worship leaders had a word about healing hands, spoke it out over the whole audience of 3,000 plus who were there. And in that moment, the girl's hands stopped shaking. 9 months later, they've never shaken again since. And she's now been accepted into a post at the local hospital. She's been able to continue her training and fully traces it to a miraculous healing that God gave at Creation Fest last summer.
Amen to that.
Another story that's just really precious to me is a girl who came to Christ just over a year and a half ago. She actually came to Christ through the local youth project in Wadebridge, but she went home and started asking her mom questions about the Bible. And because her mom didn't know how to answer those questions, she began to come to both church and Creation Fest, learned to read her Bible, and gave her heart and life to Christ. So this lovely little girl actually ended up being used to bring her mom to Christ.
Amen.
And this last year, they both, one volunteered and one attended Creation Fest. And so it's been incredible to watch not just healing, but salvation, and not just salvation, but life transformation.
Wow. That's beautiful. Now, I'm sure that's repeated tens, hundreds, thousands of times over the years. And it's important for us to get individual stories so we understand that God touches individual people. This is not just about a mass idea or philosophy that people adopt. We're talking about life transformation by relationship. And that's powerful for all of us who are involved in helping these things happen. I mean, I work on radio.
Absolutely.
I don't often have a personal relationship with every listener who's out there, but they're listening. And God makes these divine appointments happen. And what you're saying, Sarah, is that God is active in what led up to, in what's happening, and what will flow out of every encounter we have with somebody else.
And the beautiful thing about what we believe in life and mission is that God, by the power of His Spirit, has already gone before, that the presence of His Spirit rests in every conversation, and that our Heavenly Father, who loves each more than even we will imagine, will not let any of His sheep go astray without seeking them. And so I believe that it gives us as evangelists such confidence to rest in knowing that we are faithful and diligent in sharing faith, but that God's Spirit is already at work in people's lives.
Amen. Now, before we move on to our more personal story of you growing up, I want to ask you a bit about this year's coming up Creation Fest. Who do you expect to be there, and who are the groups that are making the biggest impact right now on the worship life and on evangelism in Europe right now that intend to be with you for this next festival?
Oh, that's an exciting question, and one I could talk about for a long time.
I bet you could.
I'd encourage anyone to check out our website, creationfest.org.uk. That's creationfest.org.uk. You know, as far as worship groups, I'm really excited to have with us a couple. I'll name two. KXC Worship is one of the most innovative and creative songwriters. I believe that they're writing the songs that will be sung for generations to come. They're based in London, and they're both good friends and incredible musicians and lyricists. I'm also really excited to have with us a group called Bright City. They're based out of Brighton, and their real passion and heart has been going into clubs and warehouse spaces and bringing the highest level of musical quality and an experience of worship into those places. Those two groups are probably the two I am most excited about from a worship sense. From sharing the gospel, one of the things I'm enthusiastic about is that we see that happen in so many different ways. It's astounding. We have pro skaters, including a guy called Beaver Fleming, who can do backflips with a skateboard, who will speak personally about sharing faith from a skate perspective. We have a fitness factory, including world champion powerlifters and cross fitness instructors who will do a workout and share faith from that perspective. We have all sorts of preachers, dancers, artists who will come and bring their skills and giftings, blacksmiths and forest schools and everything in between, and really introduce people to faith from a real life perspective.
Now, Sarah, let me be the serious Christian critique here now. Any critic of outreach evangelism that includes all kinds of entertainment would simply say, "Oh, you've turned the church into a circus." What's your response?
Well, my first one, tongue in cheek, is that this year I have also invited a circus to come be with us.
There you go. You and I for a penny, in for a pound.
Yes. We spoke briefly about the fact that, you know, 60 years ago, Billy Graham, using George Beverly Shea to sing popular songs, was a cataclysmically controversial decision.
A scandal of musical proportions.
Absolutely. And we believe thoroughly that there's this invitation we see in Scripture: I have become all things to all people that I might win some.
Yes.
And the reality is that if there is a good thing that can be used as a way to share the good news of Jesus Christ, then I want to explore how it is that we can share God's love through the everyday, ordinary encounters. And particularly in a place like England, which is a post-Christian culture, where the average individual on the street would be hesitant to ever, quote, wander into a church.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue.
Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.